What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've been accused of preaching on occasion. This hour is a very important hour for men all across the world. For you see, we have been made in the likeness and image of God. Sure we have. For in the book of beginnings, in Genesis, the first chapter and the seventh verse, even back then, God had made and began to make provision for his own creation. For it says that he breathed in man, and man became a living what? Became a living soul. We understand in the Jewish tongue, Yahweh or Yahshua. The name in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew tongue. And every time we take a breath, he speaks his name through us. Those of you who are not eating, if you could cup your hands across your ears at this time, inside your hearing or inside your head, you hear the sound of water or ocean. You hear that? Now you take a breath. Listen to your breath. It makes a sound. Exhale. He speaks his name in your ears. He's saying, Yah. And I found something else about our heartbeat. Our heartbeat goes boota 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 boota. But it's really saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sometimes it slows down and says, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And over 16,000 times a day, we breathe in the name of God, whether we want to or not. And the thing I love about the Lord is he didn't care if you acknowledged him or not. And that's like the shepherd that we come to today. That's like the king who looks over his vision. It doesn't depend on them loving us back. But it depends on us loving them. One thing I want to say to the young men that's in this room today, never let the events of the past hold you hostage to them. Some of you have been hurt so badly, you can go back to the very day, the hour, the moment, the second. You can go back to the year and recall when you were hurt. And it would be as if it just happened to you. Do I have a witness here? Never allow yourself to be held hostage to the things of the past. You can't undo those things. Brings me to what we are sharing with you today. The King as Shepherd. The King as Shepherd. In the last 4, 5 meetings together, we've been talking about this King. We open up today and allow you to understand that he has made provision for us as King. But the story doesn't end right there. He loans himself. He shows us who we are. And I'm grateful for the elders, the board members, who decided to look at Brother Stu Weber in the four pillars of a man's heart. Because it is a need and a desire for us to understand that we are men who have a place in God's heart, knowing the fact that he made us in the likeness and image of himself, that He would make a way for us and provide for us and become the provisionary just for us because He loved us. God is a spirit, and they that serve Him must serve Him in spirit and in spirit and in truth. But the story doesn't end right there. This God who made provision for us, He comes from glory as the King. Listen, look at me for a moment. In Psalms, the 23rd chapter, in the first verse, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God is my shepherd, and I shall not want. God comes down, and He becomes my shepherd in Jesus Christ. God comes down from glory. God is a spirit, and because He is a spirit, He wanted us to know, and He wanted to know how it felt to be a man. And so He gets inside a virgin girl, and she comes down the birth, He comes down the birth canal as a baby, as a human. And that is why He's both God and man. Because He comes into the world to redeem the world back to Himself. Now, you know the Christmas theme. It says Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with. God comes from glory. God comes from the King, His kingship. And He comes down and He becomes, amen, our shepherd. He comes all the way down to take us and redeem us back to Himself. But long before then, He becomes our shepherd. Most Hebrew young men by the age of 12, they know that God is their shepherd. They're familiar with David, the shepherd boy. And see, we have assignments. Our fathers, our earthly fathers, when we were young men, young children, young men growing up in our households, at home, we had chores to do. We couldn't go anywhere until we completed our chores. Do I have a witness in here? It caused us to understand that when we became men, we would still yet have chores to do. We watched our earthly fathers. We watched our earthly fathers show us how to become men. And many times, listen to this, we're still without excuse, because if we didn't have an earthly father, there was some man that the provisionary sent forth in our life, somebody in our life still yet was there for us. We are without excuse, men. God has sent somebody to help us along the way. Do I have a witness in here? God loved us so much that He put men in our life early on to help us become the men that we had to become. In this four pillars, we find that there is the King, and this is the one that we're dealing with today. Next week, we'll start being a warrior. There's a warrior down on the inside of you. There is a mentor. A mentor is a teacher. There is a teacher down inside of you. Then the fourth pillar, which is love, it causes us to be connected. This fourth pillar called love causes us to have huddle this afternoon. Somebody had to start this huddle. And somebody had to completely be engulfed with this huddle. A vision was given them, and they followed through. And you are the fruit of the vision that God has given me and early on in huddle. God will always have Himself a witness. If you do not have anyone around you to help you this hour, you can always come to huddle. If you don't have a friend in the workplace, there are pastors in this city that are called after God's own heart. And they will love you into the kingdom. King and warrior, mentor and friend is down on the inside of you. The King made provision. when he sent his only son. He did this so that we can uphold our marriages. You see, there's a roof over our head. And on that roof is our marriage. On that roof is our family. On that roof is our church. And on that roof that we're holding up is our community and our nation. There is a need for godly men in the world today. We got men who have hidden agendas. We got people that will speak from here, but the heart is somewhere else. God is looking for some men that will come and say, here I am, I'm transparent, you can see me, you can look straight through me. And let me share this with you about hatred. You got hate over here and you got hate over here. If you introduce hate, you just got hate. But if you introduce love into a hate situation, hate's got to dissipate. Because hate can't do nothing with love. Hate says, what in the world? I have offered you hate. I have offered you anger. I expect you to hate me. I expect you to have anger. But you bring me love. What in the world is going on? Can't I get a fight out of you? Can't even get a fight out of you. Because you have introduced love. And every man has this capability on the inside of him if he chooses to embrace this love. It's a choice. You can introduce love or you can introduce something lesser than love. But in every account of life circumstances, if love is there, the other thing has to dissipate, go out the window. Do I have a witness in here? The king, he comes as a shepherd to us this afternoon. I find that there are men in this room who have been broken on the wheel of divorcement. Some people, they hold a record of rights and wrongs over you because you possibly have gone through a divorcement. There are those in the room who are contemplating on leaving their wife. But I would say to you, don't leave that woman. Don't leave her by herself. The worst form of punishment is abandonment. If you should abandon your wife, there are children involved, and they will never ever get over divorcement. The only thing that can help that child or that broken marriage is Jesus the Christ. The only one that can repair a broken heart is Jesus the Christ. I know they don't want us to talk about Jesus nowhere, but if I can't talk about Jesus in huddle, then where can I talk about Jesus? Is there anybody in here that loves Jesus Christ? Oh, I want to know if I'm in the right place this afternoon. Is there anybody here who loves the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? I'm trying to be ecumenically sound here, but y'all about to make me run and shout and cry at the same time. I'm about ready to cry. Ain't nobody done nothing to me. We're gonna miss Peyton Manning, aren't we? I think about Peyton, and I think about a lot of things, but I think about Peyton, and I think about a baseball pitcher as he looks over his shoulder and he sees the runner on first base trying to advance. And he has this relationship with the first baseman. And he looks over his shoulder and he tries to look him off. But a quarterback can't look off that defensive end on his blind side. He can't see behind him. And so he needs a good, and if he's right-handed, he needs a good left tackle that will run down that defensive end because he can't see him. And so he stands courageously in the pocket, and he looks downfield, and he's trying to find somebody open that he might be able to throw the pass to. God is looking for somebody down the field, visionary, somebody down the field that he can throw the ball to. But I want you to know, if the defensive tackle on his blind side isn't there, I'm going to tell you who's there. On your blind side this afternoon is Jesus Christ. He's on the blind side of you. You can't see him right now. But every now and then you can feel him. Oh, yes you can. You can feel the presence of God on your blind side. He's there in the darkness of the night when you can't find your way. He's there. Your daughter hasn't talked to you in a while. But God is still there. Your sons, you don't know what to do with them. They're not doing what they should be doing. But the Lord God is on your blind side, and he's still there. I'm so grateful today that I can come to huddle, and I can hide behind the cross. And nobody in here can say anything evil about me, because we're all men that need our blind side taken care of. When they see us, they see us in our quarterbacking. When they see us, they see us in our job. When they look at us, they see us as successful. When they look at us, they see us as fathers. When they look at us, they see us as husbands. Oh! But God sees us when our uniform is off. And he still embraces us as his child. The thing that I love about the shepherd is he'll go after that one sheep. The thing I love about the shepherd is that he will love you just where you are. We close here this afternoon. I want you to know something about the shepherd. In John 10 and verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You notice that the defensive or the offensive tackle that's in the left position of the offensive line, he don't get so many headlines. They don't call him up that much. But everybody around the league knows that that left tackle can get the job done. The thing that I love about this Lord Jesus Christ, and I admonish you to embrace him today. Don't embrace your circumstances. Don't embrace your problems. Embrace the Savior, because he didn't make you a pauper. He made you a royal priest. Embrace Jesus today. He can take all of the addictions away. He can take all of the pain and place it away. Will pain come again? Absolutely, yes, it'll come again. But it'll go better with Jesus than without him. So as we go out of here this afternoon, let us to know that He will, and he has laid his life down for you. That this shepherd that came into the world died on the cross, but the story doesn't end right there. He said that he would send the comforter to us. The story doesn't end right there. He sends the comforter, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it comes just like the king, just like the warrior, just like the mentor, just like the friend, the pillar. It comes, and he comes to live in the heart of man forever. If man would say yes to him and no to the devil, if mankind would only know he's made to serve a God who loves him. So when you become a believer, you have all this, amen, added benefits that you didn't have before. Because your mind has come online. Y'all remember, you come online. And when you come online, you know what I'm talking about. For the very first time, you come online. Terminator 1, 2, and 3. They became aware. You become aware. Oh my, Jesus Christ is real. Oh yes, he is. Will he come and minister to me? Oh yes, he will. How can he do it? Because he's everywhere. How can he do it? Because the door of the Holy Spirit has been opened. And it's open until he shuts it. The door is still open. Walk on in and find this Jesus. Men, we must build a legacy of love and commitment that the generations to come might know a shepherd king never abandons his flock, not for a lion. Remember David, he kills the lion, he kills the bear. We don't abandon our flock. And I'm not talking about the preacher only and the pastor only. I'm talking about your little flock, your little wife, your little children. They are your flock. They are your people. You have become the shepherd to them. You are the shepherd king to them. It is your responsibility to take care of them. It is my responsibility to take care of my little flock that the Lord has given me. Well, we're not going to give up because a lion come, a bear come. We're not going to give up even though we slew a giant, David say. He stays even with his flock when all hell breaks loose. He stays with the flock when all hell breaks loose. The quarterback says, listen, I may not have a strong offensive tackle to block for me. So what I will do, I will call a play where I roll away from the adversity. I'm just going to roll away from the adversity. I'm going to roll on down over here and so I can buy some time until my Jesus comes and takes care of that defensive end. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Andrew Luck better be able to run. I've had some fun here today. We're going to pray now. Give you some time to know that these four pillars are in your heart. I would admonish you as we pray to get this book. Stu Weber is an awesome man. Some of this stuff in this book is too tight and rated X. And it'll get you down on the inside and cause you to do the right thing. But it's Stu Weber's Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. But who is Stu Weber? Stu Weber is a Vietnam vet who has 3 bronze stars. And while he was on combat in Vietnam, he said, wait a minute. God is delivering me, and I need to go home and get myself right. And when he got home, he said, I'm called to the ministry. And so for all those years, from 1972 to all the way up until now, Stu Weber is his name, Four Pillars of a Man. I'm going to be wrong for this, but I need to do this. Stu says here, and I'm going to read what he says here. He says, a servant leader must not have double standards, one for himself and another for those around him. If he wants respect, he must give it. If he wants forgiveness, he must exceed it or expend it to others. If he wants consistency, he must show it. If he wants promptness, he must demonstrate it. If he wants enthusiastic love, he must be an enthusiastic lover of others. He says a lot in this book. But ain't you glad that this book covers it too? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray that something was said today that to impact these men of God, let them to know that you are there for them and that you have not abandoned them and left them and that you took them just where they were and you're their Savior. And Father, we thank you for these who have come across the distance. Certainly, Lord, we thank you for the food that we had received here today, the beautiful church that offered it up. And God, I'm praying now that you would impact the tables, discussions, and help us, Lord God, to know that you are still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Continue to hide us behind the cross, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.